When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Roleplay Retcon does not own any part of the movies we retcon, nor are we associated with the artists who make them. Also, we might not be super kid-friendly, but we're not going to curdle your milk or anything.
The music in this series features No More Kings. Check them out at nomorekings.com or wherever you find music.
Previously on Roleplay Retcon does the adventures of Pluto Nash. Leroy awakened in the Dark Side, a secret facility that functioned as a prison, research facility, and work camp. He broke out of his restraints, dispatched his captors, and freed his fellow mutants from vile scientific experimentation. Meanwhile, Pluto and Tracy barely survived being stranded on Luna's barren surface after rock band Flight of the French Laundry betrayed them and crashed Pluto's ship. They were rescued by the secretive and powerful Marucci family. When they were summoned to meet the head of the Marucci's, they were surprised to find superhero wannabe Zoom Baby sitting in the chair, with loss prevention agent Joe Malone at his side. They were even more surprised when Zoom Baby removed his mask to reveal the face of Pluto's friend Michael Frankowski, who died in Pluto's arms the night Nash Vegas was attacked. So, let's answer some questions and maybe get some experience.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you spread the message of the revolution?
Not really.
Yes.
Tell me. Explain. This better be good.
When Mr. B was going on his murdering and saving spree, he did. And also when I was talking, we were talking to the band people.
That's more probably closer to it.
But didn't we already get the band people on our side before?
They weren't, because they betrayed us, but now they are.
I guess that's, you know what? That's a good point.
Tracy kind of did.
Oh my god, it was me.
Here's the thing, though.
The thing is, you just don't want to give us the experience points.
I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Well, we got a point.
Yeah.
Did you gain new allies or resources?
No.
Mr. B did.
The band.
Well, no, we already had the band.
No, but they betrayed us.
We didn't, though.
They did betray us, but we didn't. We already got an experience point for the band.
I don't think we did. I don't think we did get an experience point for the band because they never were on our
side. Oh, no,
we
got them for allies.
Oh, no, they were officially allies.
Yeah.
With a capital A.
We had them as, yeah.
Balls.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't agree saying that.
Kendo, whose side are you on?
I'm on the side of the rules.
What about...
That sounds like something the establishment would say.
What about Mr. B? Mr. B saved so many people.
Are they on our side?
And they decided to help him.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm cool. Hey, I'm cool with that.
I don't know if they ever said they were going to help me.
Didn't they?
I kind of just liberated them and were like, let's go liberate more people.
Yeah, I think I agree. I just don't think you had time to gain new allies or resources. So I don't think you quite get that one. But to your point about Mr. B, did you interrupt a system of corruption? I would say Leroy absolutely did that.
Yeah.
Man, he Leroy Jenkins'd in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And... did you protect the people from this happening again?
I mean, if the people are dead, they can't do it again.
Right?
You've used this argument before. you used this argument when you killed Frank Farmer.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
Was it wrong then, and is it wrong now?
I was on the fence then.
I'm just saying, people cannot commit more harm if they are put in a position where committing harm is impossible, and sometimes that position is death.
I think
It's true.
I think...
B, did you, like, destroy any of their, like, equipment or stuff
Yeah,
like
this
that?
Is where I'm at. I feel like he had...
I liberated their science experiments. Yeah, I literally saved more. Mutant people.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
No, that's true. They were using these people as clones.
That's the argument for disrupting the system of corruption. Oh, but you actually literally... But it's not did you save people? It's did you make it so it wouldn't happen again?
And I think killing the people making it happen is
that
a way
scientist lady ain't gonna hurt nobody
again.
See, this is okay. Let me say my thought out loud. Yes, this was originally my thought. Was I felt like you had an opportunity to, eliminate this system, and you didn't. But then I realized that, like, yeah, you killed Sassy Frass, the head who at least was an important scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that counts. I think that counts as you wrecking shop. I think you're right.
Yeah. That's
and that was XP your intention when doing that, it even seems. Which intention doesn't really matter, but yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Did I just give you all four of these? No, I didn't give you one.
No, we
gave
us three.
You didn't get new allies resources. Still, 3 out of 4. Good job, folks.
Hey, guess what? I leveled up.
I did too. So
I also leveled up.
All right, let's pick some stuff.
I'm going to get +1 cool because I'm a murderer.
I chose to take another move, and I chose vibe check.
What is vibe check?
Once per session, you can get a good sense of the type of person someone is. You have to be in their presence, actively listening to them, and try to figure out their values. Then the authority will tell you what your target's ethos is.
Oh, look at Tony Stark learning from his mistakes.
Please don't ever compare me to Tony Stark ever again. I'm sorry. That came out as legitimately serious, but I was not.
I think I'm going to take Don't Get Cocky, Kid. If you brag about your skills before doing something, you get +1 forward. However, if you miss the roll, you do not gain EXP.
Very Pluto.
Yeah.
Extra Nash.
Yeah. When he said, sweep the leg, Johnny.
We are at the moment where Michael Frankowski has just revealed his not-dead-edness and status as the secret identity of Zoom Baby and the head of the Marucci family. Three very big surprises. At least probably one big surprise if you guessed the other ones.
Oh, were you finished?
Yes, that's where you are now. That just happened. You sigh?
I'm sorry, was I there?
Were you there? Yeah, you're both in the room.
Yeah.
No. Was I there to meet Frank Frankowski?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know who Frank Frankowski is.
Yes, you do, Benjamin. I don't know his name, Krakowski?
Well, his name is Michael, for one.
What the heck? Are you sure?
His name is not Frank Frankowski, I assure you.
No, Frank Frankowski. Krankowski?
Krankowski? It's Michael Frankowski.
Okay, Michael Frankowski. Was I there to meet Michael Frankowski?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, you were there in Las Vegas on the night he quote-unquote died.
And I met him beforehand? Like, I know who this guy is?
It was explained to you that when he died in Nash's arms, that he was Nash's best friend. But no, you've never actually met the person, really.
I think upon, like, the turning and the revealing, I think my first thought is to just run towards him and try to punch him in his fucking jaw.
Whoa.
Okay, I'm gonna let you do a throwdown.
Because I'm just so mad. This motherfucker's been alive this whole... He's been pretending to be a fucking superhero. He let me think he was dead.
We're going to say this is just a one arm. Is whatever happens here. It's just one arm.
It's just one... Okay, yeah, no, that's fine.
You just
I'm not trying
roll
to kill
like
him.
16
just,
dice?
No, sorry. I was getting dice out of my...
you were like, I'm really going to wind up for this one.
There was no real graceful way to search for 2d6 in my dice bag.
I rolled 127.
Okay, that hits.
Right. Here's the roll. That's a 4 and a 1. 5 plus 1 is a 6.
A swing and a miss.
Joe Malone, like, deftly, like, takes your hand and, like, uses your momentum to, like, just make you, like, sort of turn around and go back the way you came, and you stumble a little bit, but you don't quite fall. And it's just, like, it made your attack, like, completely impotent, but you yourself are not actually harmed.
Yeah, and while he's got me, I'm just go, Mikey, you piece of shit! You stupid motherfucker! When I get you, Mikey, I'm gonna... And I'm just, like, flailing and like, yelling and, like, upset and, like, just, like a Tasmanian devil in his arms.
Joe Malone is like, Nash, you've got to calm down. Nash.
Get your fucking hands off me, Joe. Okay, get your hands off me or I'm beating your ass too.
Michael is like, let him go. Let him go. Let him go, Joe. Well, I gotta remember his voice. It was like, hey Nash.
Was it?
Does he have a little bit of an accent? It's been literally seven episodes since I had to talk to him.
It was the first episode.
I know. So sorry. And Zoom Baby has a different voice, and I'm also really bad at voices when I'm doing GMing. Everyone just sounds like me. I'm going to say he's got a little bit of an accent. He's like, all right, Joe, let him go. It's okay. I kind of knew this was going to happen. You cool though, Nash? Nash, can you calm down maybe?
No, why would I calm down? Why the fuck would I calm? Mikey, what the fuck are you doing here?
Tracy, right? Tracy?
Yeah.
Can you maybe help me out here?
Don't talk to her. No, don't fucking talk to her. No. This is between me and you, Mikey. Me, you, and the man whose arms you died in, Mikey.
Yeah, man, I don't think it's cool to deceive your best friend like that. Like, he was pretty upset. He cried a lot. I'm gonna do a vibe check. Vibe check.
Oh, okay.
On Frank Krakowski.
Frankowski.
Frank Frankowski.
Michael Wazowski.
Well, what does vibe check do? Again, I know you just told me.
Once per session, you can get a good sense of the type of person someone is. You have to be in their presence, actively listen to them, and try to figure out their values. Then the authority will tell you what your target's ethos is.
His ethos is he will do anything to not be a screw-up. Like, ethics be damned on that. It doesn't mean he's completely, like, cold-hearted or he's, like, an evil person even. But, like, that is above all what he is desperate to not be.
Thank you.
I understand that you are angry. Wasn't expecting that.
Oh, you weren't expecting that? You weren't expecting that when you magically came back from the dead that I'd be a little pissed off? That you stood around, watched all this shit happen, pretended to die in front of me, and then put on this fucking suit pretending to be a fucking superhero all the goddamn time, Mikey?
You didn't think I'd be a superhero.
Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Sitting here at the fucking table of the Marucci family, wearing your goddamn suit. What are you doing to help? Hmm?
He is now, like, seething as much as you.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like if I screwed up so much by being a friend, like being such a shitty friend, that I would let my best friend be upset that I died, I feel like I'd do a little bit more.
All right. Just let me talk for a second. And we, as an audience, flashback to a couple of nights ago in Nash Vegas.
Flashback.
And Michael Frankowski is on the ground. The camera is looking down onto him, into his eyes. And the party extinguishing foam is falling around him. And you can hear Pluto shouting at Loss Prevention to put down their weapons as he holds Joe Malone at laser point. But it's like kind of pitched down and slow and echoing. And Michael looks down at his shoulder and sees a red flower of blood bloom onto his crisp white shirt. And in the present, Michael talks over this memory. He says, you know, my mom died about a year ago. You helped me through it. She'd groomed me to take the chair as the head of the Marucci family. Well, you didn't know that part. You just knew my mom died. Okay, well, she tried to groom me. I really didn't want to do it. And we see an even earlier memory, a very young-faced Michael sitting in a hover limo parked near the warehouse district where Nash Vegas is today. And a woman, easily assumed to be Michael's mother, is sitting across from him in the limo. And both of them are, through tinted windows, watching a very young Pluto Nash shaking hands with a professionally dressed man as hovering machines with claw arms unload cargo from his ship and place it in a nearby warehouse. Michael's eyebrows raise. He likes what he sees. I wanted to be like you, Nash. I wanted to do what I wanted to do and answer only to me. Even if I took this job and I became the biggest boss of the Marucci's, I couldn't really do what I wanted to do. Family had expectations of me. We cut back to Michael on the floor of Nash Vegas, and the red bloom on his shirt is larger. But that night changed everything. Didn't even get to do my set. My best friend didn't even want to hear the whole 5 minutes. I never saved anyone as Zoom Baby. I never fought any evil. And as I lay there, realizing that I wasn't good at any of the things I wanted to be good at, I decided Mom was right. And we see Michael poke himself near his heart with a small injector in the flashback. But that scene cuts back to present-day Michael, who tosses the same kind of injector onto his desk. New thing coming out of our narc labs. Doesn't even really have a name yet. Haven't figured out a recreational use for it, but it basically makes someone seem dead for a few hours. And then flashback Michael throws the injector away, and it gets lost in the foam and will be assumed to be one of Pluto's patrons having a nice time with a shot of pepper or PLC. And Michael's breathing slows, and it burdens. And we see Nash talking to Leighton Marucci, who comes to claim Michael's body. The name didn't ring a bell then, but it does now. We see Michael awake and being cared for by a physician on Marucci retainer. We see Michael donning the Zoom Baby costume, wincing when he moves his shoulder wrong. A montage, Zoom Baby clutching his healing wound when the group leaves him at Joe Malone's apartment. Him being sure to use his other arm when doing the wind-up punch outside of Slimothy Jimothy's. Him wheezing and falling down when he chases the Paris security personnel craft and losing them. You were the chosen one. Nash, you're the only person who is in the perfect position to take down the corpse. We have a common enemy. But I don't feel good about manipulating you into being the chosen one anymore. I think I should just let you be the hero I know you can be, and just be honest with you.
You know, you really pissed me off with this fake dying.
I'm sorry? Is that what you want me to say? I'm sorry.
No. But I take your point. We got bigger fish to fry, and I can kick your ass later. But first and foremost, we got to find B. He's missing, I guess. He was supposed to be at Nash Vegas. I tried to send a pigeon, and it didn't find him. Do you think you and your folks, kind of like looking around, can help us find him?
I think we could help, but not for free.
Mikey, you piece of shit.
I think you would agree that our friendship does not obligate us to do favors for each other for free. I think you're right. I think it's bad business and it's bad friendship. Now, the rescue and the patch-up, that's on the house. That is a favor between friends. That's the free coffee in the showroom when you're buying a car. Would you like a coffee, by the way?
I'm good.
Okay. Tea? No? Okay.
I look to Tracy. Do you want anything?
I'm okay, thank you.
But it's nothing you can't afford. I wouldn't price gouge you. If you want the information, the resources, and the people power of the Marucci family, you gotta be part of the Marucci family.
Now you're trying to get me to join an organized crime organization.
Well, there's no such thing as crime in Graceland.
Okay, fair enough. Then join your family of organized people who do things that other people would consider illicit.
I suppose, a little bit. We're not a corp, though. We wouldn't touch Las Vegas. I know it's nearest and dearest thing to you, and we have no reason to tell you how to run your business. We don't even want a cut. We'll even help you get it back up and running.
Then what do you want? What's the point of me? Why do you want me to join?
Because we want you. Your status in Graceland is of use to us. And you would be part of the Marucci organization. We would need you to do work from us from time to time. Keep things running smoothly for us and for Graceland.
Can I take a moment to consider with Tracy here?
Of course. Take all the time you need.
All right. And then I go over to Tracy and like kind of try to move us to a corner.
I don't like this.
Yeah, I feel that. I don't like this either.
They say they don't want Vegas, right? They don't want Nash Vegas. They don't want to tell me what to do, but they are going to tell me what to do. I'll be a part of their family, whatever the fuck that means. And I'm so pissed off, you fucking...
God, I can't even imagine. I'm so sorry, man. And she just, like, reaches over and touches your upper arm and, like, squeezes a little bit.
Appreciate you going through all of this with me, despite the fact that you literally just got here.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like that's what friends actually do, you know? We gotta find B.
Before you answer, I have something to show you. Maybe let you understand the stakes. Mm. I'm going to do another roll for retrofuturism roll. This is only the second one of these we've done because I kept forgetting to do it.
What is that?
Roll for retrofuturism is when we figure out if the technology that's about to be used is futuristic based on our current perceptions of technology or the 2002 perception of technology. Mm. So, gonna roll real quick. It's 4, which means, meant it doesn't exist. But in this case, I think it will exist. But a little panel goes into Michael's desk and then slides out of the way. It's about 4 inches thick by about 2 or 3 feet wide. And a flat screen comes out. It's amazing. It has true blacks, and it's only like 4 inches thick. To a 2002 audience, this would be such a flat TV. it has a screen on both sides, so Michael can also see what's on it. But the screen turns on, and Michael says, "This happened while you were gone." You know, out. And on the screen are 4 people dressed in very nice clothes. Probably really expensive clothes. And they seem to be standing on a really big stage. Probably the one you saw being constructed in the sports arena. One of them is a tall man in his early 40s with a nice haircut who probably goes to the gym every day and drinks kale smoothies and shit. And he is standing slightly in front of the other 3 and has his fingers steepled together like he's giving a TED talk. And this man speaks. And he says, "Hello, Graceland! Welcome to the first ever Jonah Grace Memorial Unity Concert. I'm Artemis Johnson, CEO of Johnson & Johnson & Johnson & Johnson & Johannesson. I'm the 3rd Johnson." And he smiles and an unseen crowd chuckles. "I'm here with Reddit CEO Gilly Twixmiddle, Ondi Solutions CEO Cosmo Cockburn, and iCup CEO Clint Iris. I know it's unusual to see us together. We're fierce competitors. But we do have one very important thing that brings us together. That we are all in a position where being stewards of Graceland is our responsibility. That's how we're our best selves. Now, that rarely requires direct cooperation between us. It's usually good enough for us to individually be our best selves. But some recent events have called for us to come together. We have evolved beyond government, but we all know there are still crimes in Graceland. Theft, unwarranted violence, disrespecting another's property. These are behaviors that belong on Earth. And a small minority of terrorists have brought these toxic traits from Earth to Graceland. And unlike Earth, our leaders are chosen by the people, not by rigged elections. And those leaders, myself included,
have a responsibility to use our resources to be our best selves, to make Graceland the best Graceland, no matter what it takes. Early this morning, a joint effort by our company's security forces exposed and captured a terrorist ring at a mutant bar. There was a firefight, and several agents were injured, but nothing life-threatening, fortunately. Most of the terrorists were also captured without fatality, but two ringleaders were killed in the exchange. Two normal humans, Pluto Nash and Tracy Lake. And both of your pictures appear on screen. And you hear the crowd murmur and gasp a little bit at the mention of Pluto's name. Now, I know a lot of you may have known Nash. Nash had been a Graceland resident for some time, but spaceport records show that Lake arrived barely a day ago from Earth, and reports indicate that the two of them had some history, so this may have been an attack from Earth's side. We don't know. We're looking into it. There was also a mutant resembling a blue tiger that was killed. We don't know their name or if they even had one. Now, none of us are saying that just because the terrorists happen to mostly be mutants means all mutants are to be feared. Of course not. But I would ask the mutants in this audience to see things from our perspective and understand that your heightened abilities can sometimes make us feel afraid and can often give you advantages over normal people. And that now is an important time for the mutant community to hold each other accountable to be their best selves and root out this corruption from within. And the four of us realize that we have a duty to help you do that. I promise, I'm almost done talking, and we're almost ready for our first act, but we thought this would be a good time to roll out our new citizen ID program. This is just temporary until we're sure we've squashed this little Earth infiltration, but in order to be allowed onto Ondi's, Reddit, ICUP, or JJJJ and J property, you'll have to be wearing a citizen ID pin, which is free, and it'll have your name and address of residence and whether you're a mutant or normal. There's lots of cool styles. You can rep which company you work for, and we're going to have folks from all four of our companies in the crowd handing these out, getting them set up for you. It's going to be so easy, I promise, and we're all going to feel a lot safer. All right, first band up is Gunmetal Blue. Give it up! Woo! Michael shuts off the screen, and I need a second because I felt really gross, and I need to, like, I didn't like having that guy in me.
That's what she said.
I didn't like having that guy in me.
How deep did he go, Ben? He
rearranged my guts.
Gross, yo, Ben!
My stomach feels bad. It's time to get your suit on. To keep your gun drawn. We're all expecting you. The camera frames the view. They're playing your theme song. Now you're the new James Bond. Hey, it's Ben, the director of this series. I hope that you are enjoying it. I have something personal to talk to you about real quick. Well, it's business, too. It's personal business. But it's fun! My first ever Kickstarter is live, and it goes through the end of March 2024. I'm funding my game. It takes this long, and it was fully funded on the first day, but I've got a stretch goal I'm trying to get that will let me commission some art for it. It Takes This Long is a two-player game about estranged people stranded together on an island that has dangers and mysteries they have to survive, and through that shared ordeal, they either mend their relationship or grow further apart, or they can even be driven to kill each other. It's got a little Jurassic Park, it's got a little Lost, there's even a little Die Hard in there. You can get a PDF of the game, or you can buy a physical zine if you live in the U.S., I also have the option for anyone to buy a physical copy for a stranger, and I'll hand those out at conventions and stuff. You can back it at tinyurl.com/ITTLzine. I'll also put a link in the episode description. Some other news, on this coming Monday, March 18th, me and Alex and Jency will all be on an episode of Game Master Monday,
it's hard to describe what we're doing, but we're playing Call of Cthulhu, but it's in like a Dr. Seuss adventure. So we're trying to, instead of going insane, we're trying not to get Seussed. It was a lot of fun. It was very funny. And it was fun hanging out with Grant and Jenny. And I like it's basically just another episode of this show. So go listen to that if you listen to this. Also, thank you to Kendrick Smith, a.k.a. Kendo, for joining us and playing Pluto Nash. We actually have recorded the finale of this now, and we've said goodbye to Kendo, and I'm already very sad about that. But Kendo's the media production manager for Kobold Press and the GM and creator of Tales Yet Told, an actual play podcast. It's got a few seasons. There's a space season. There's a pirate season. Its first season is indescribable. It's called Strangers in the Wood, and it's a surreal, cozy, horror-light adventure that takes inspiration from things like Over the Garden Wall and like all the wild stuff from the 80s, like Videodrome. And I know that I just described something I said was indescribable, but that really doesn't do it. You have to go listen to it. Also, thanks to No More Kings for letting us use their music on this series. No More Kings is Pete Mitchell and Neil Robbins. I think their music works perfectly. I even based a lot of the stuff in the story off of their music. We are playing Moonpunk by our friends at Wannabe Games. You should check out all their games. They're all bangers. And you can buy Moonpunk on their itch.io store or DriveThruRPG, and I'll put links up to that in the episode description as well. As always, there's the Roleplay Retcon Discord and Patreon. Patreon has bonus content, and the Discord has bonus people. This episode was edited by me, Benjamin Gray. Our logo and show art is by Jeanette Blasius. Roleplay Retcon is produced by Two Fish in a Jug and is part of the Nerdsmith Network. All right, that's all I got for you. Back to the episode. The next episode is the finale. Whoa.
Bond.
Gonna go back over to the dark side and Leroy Brown.
That's me.
Yeah, Leroy, I think when we left you last time, you were leaving the labs and heading for the rest of this facility. I did make you a little map, Leroy.
Map me, daddy.
So basically, though, I can explain what you are looking at. You have, I don't know, you found this map somewhere. It wasn't hard to find in the labs before you moved on. But there are basically, apparently, five areas of the dark side. The labs, where you are currently and are exiting. The cells, where the prisoners, I guess, live. There are farms, there are factories, and there is a port that can access the factories, the farms, and the cells directly. And we'll say, I'm going to roll a d6 here. We'll see how many people you've freed. We'll have to keep a running tally here. Oh my god, it rolled high. You have freed five mutants. From yes. These labs. They're in various states of being okay, but they're none of them seem to have been so experimented on that they're like physically unwell. So you can see the cells now. This is like a big prison block of cells, and there are several guards, plenty of guards.
Like more than six?
Like more than six. It's huge.
Are there more guards than there would be mutants and people if I free the 1/3 of people that are locked in the cages?
Yeah, yeah. The guard to people ratio is like the people side is pretty heavily weighted.
All right, I've got a plan. And I turn to my mutant brethren. So what we're going to do is I've got some guards back in the labs. I'm going to need a couple of you to take their guard uniforms and put them on. And we're going to get their ident cards and their keys and whatnots. And you're going to lead us back to the cells where we will free the rest of the prisoners there.
So there are two of these mutants that they could hide their mutation with clothing. One of them has like spines on their back that would flatten under a shirt. And one of them has like extra fingers, but they might be able to hide that. So they're going to do that. But they explain to you, they're, one of them's like, hey, yeah, we don't have keys though.
Well, the guard bodies might have keys, and I killed a scientist lady. I bet she's got keys on her.
No. I'm sure someone somewhere has a key, but we have shifts and the cells open on our shift.
Oh, well, we'll keep the disguise plan.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Maybe you can take me to some sort of control center.
Well, I don't know where that would be.
You're killing me, bud. You're killing me.
We're prisoners who work, and we're slaves.
Yeah, that's a problem. Oh, I left one of the guards alive. I'll go ask him.
You trot back, past the dead body of Sassy Frass. Mm-hmm. And you go back to, I think we left him in like a locker.
Yep.
Yeah, you open the locker and he's still there. And he's like, hey, I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere or told anyone anything.
I'm going to need your clothes.
Yeah, here's my clothes. And he like takes all of them off. Like he's completely naked.
Good.
He's like, did you need the underwear?
No, I think you can keep your underwear.
That would be great.
Consider thanks, that bud. One a gift. And you know what you do with people that you give gifts.
Do you say thank you?
You tell them where the control center for the cells is.
Oh, I don't. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they just open with it's they're on a shift.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think second shift starts in about an hour.
Well, there's got to be like some sort of release system.
If there is, that's above my pay grade.
Okay. And I lock him back in the room.
Thank you for not killing me.
Maybe I should kill him. No, I'm just kidding. This is a tough pickle. You're taking a lot of my options away from me. I guess I'm gonna have to go just attack every guard and get myself killed.
You have other options.
I guess I could go to the farms and get them to rise up with their farming implements.
Parsively. You will have to get through the cells to get there.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get back. You're trying to get through the cells. You don't have too far to go.
Yeah.
I definitely think that you could use half of you being in disguise to your advantage. How are you going to do that?
They're going to lead us. Like they're taking us for a shift in the farm area.
Oh. I'm going to let you do a act casual roll when trying to pull off some shady stuff unnoticed by others. I'm going to give you a tag that is like disguises. I'm just trying to find a way to give you a +1 for this good plan.
All right. That, mon frere, is a 10. Ha ha.
On a 10 plus, you succeed. I think it's a little odd that you would be escorting a small group to their shifts, but maybe people just assume that, like, you three are troublemakers, especially, you know, you, Leroy, you're a big guy. Like, maybe they just think, yeah, this guy needs to, we gotta watch this guy, but he does good work. So as you can see, there is a path from the cells to the farms.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go out, yes, this is a huge expanse, bigger than any dome you've seen in Graceland. And it's just farms. There's cattle, there's vegetables, grains. It's way bigger than the farm, like the farm dome in Graceland, where Andes does a lot of its food production. Like 3 times as big as that.
Wow. And I assume there are workers?
Yeah, there's workers. There's both workers and machines, but yeah, there's a lot of people here.
Cool.
Like a couple hundred people here working.
What is the worker to guard ratio?
About the same. 1 per dozen people. It's really more like there's sections. Like there might be a couple of guards to a plot. You know, there's like a cattle ranch over here or some kind of like processing facility. And there's a guard or two there.
How are the guards outfitted?
They look a lot like the ones that you fought in the hallway. Now, these have... No, out in the farms, they have laser weapons.
Shit.
But they're not armored.
Are the workers mostly mutants?
No. Yeah, it's not like in the labs where they were all mutant. The population here is mixed. However, the ratio of mutants to non-mutants is, like, much closer than it is in Graceland. Like, there's more mutants per capita here than there are in Graceland.
Gotcha.
So whatever system is targeting the people that are brought here is disproportionately targeting mutants.
Is there any kind of, like a PA system or some sort of, like, sounding equipment?
I'll let you read the room.
I'll read a room. 10.
You can ask 3 of those questions.
All right.
I've answered so many of them by accident.
Who do I know here?
You see Allison Bama.
I don't think I was around when Allison Bama showed up, actually.
You may be right about that.
I just remembered who Allison Bama is.
Maybe I know her from elsewhere.
You know what? We'll say that. You know of Allison Bama.
Yeah, we're like best friends. Why would you even ask? Cool. Any objects of note?
Yes, you see a computer console that seems like it could be some kind of PA system. I don't think that's how that works. I don't think it's just supposed to like grant wishes, but here we are.
What's my opening for doing X? For using the PA system?
You will have to probably do some kind of tech roll. You might have to ask help for help. But this won't be... Some of the mutants tell you, like, oh, yeah, I think you need, like, a password or something, but you could get in. The guards use it sometimes. Key card might do it, or maybe you could hack it.
I turn to one of the mutants that have dressed up as a guard, like, give me your key card.
And they pat their pockets, and they go, yeah, here we go, key card. Looks like my name is Vern Buckle.
God, what a dumb name.
He's like, my real name's Andy Gravity, by the way. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Leroy Brown. You can call me Mr. B.
Mr. B. I'll remember that.
And then I make my way to the computer PA system.
We're just going to say that works. I had another layer to this puzzle, but we're not going to do that. It honestly is just a little, like, it looks like an ATM with a microphone on top.
Nice.
And you put it in, and it's got a few options. It looks like it's like a map that'll let you, like, either talk to everyone in the farms. It looks like it's limited to just the farms.
Okay.
You talk to everyone in the farms, or you can, like, use... I'm going to do a roll for retrofuturism. And it's a 9. So, it's like... It's like an ATM screen, but it is a touch screen. So you can, like, choose what segments of the farms you want to do.
All of it.
Okay.
And I flip on the microphone. Hello? Is this thing on?
One of the mutants comes over and presses, like, holds down a red button for you, and they say, now try it.
All right, okay. Hello, is this thing on? Dear workers in the farm area, aren't you tired of doing all of this work as if you were indentured to do so? Wouldn't you rather be free?
You hear, like, some scattered, like, Yeah.
I know maybe some of you don't know how to do the math, but you outnumber the guards 12-1. Take up your farming implements. Help us free the rest of our brethren.
Okay. You've gotten to know Tracy a little bit over the past couple days.
I know a lady named Tracy.
Wait, hold on.
They're a rock star.
You remember Tracy's rousing speech?
Yeah.
At Slimothy Jimothy's.
Mm-hmm.
And Jensi.
Oh, no.
What's something that Tracy would say at this moment that from his heart he could say, inspired by you?
This is me, the friend in your heart. For so long, they have looked down on us, and they're forcing us to do all of this stuff for them, and you don't want to do it, and I don't want to do it, and we can just get out of here. We can be free. There's no such thing as crime or laws or anything, so why can't we be free, too? It's because they're keeping us down, and we don't have to put up with this bullshit anymore. Let's go!
Like, that roars out of Leroy Jenkins' mouth.
Roar!
Okay, I'm going to have you influence someone.
All right.
I'm going to give you a plus one.
Cool.
We'll do a temporary tag forward of just Tracy's song.
Tracy's song. Nice. All right. So with the plus one from presence and the plus one from Tracy, I have a 10. I don't know. The dice like me today.
On a 10 plus, they will attempt to do what is asked of them.
Oh my god, you've rolled like 3 tens in a row. That means you get like everyone here.
It's amazing. Nice. Like, honestly, I'm not fooling. I'm not doing any trickery.
I know you would never roll these. Listen, you're such a liar, but you would never.
I would never.
Ever lie about what's on your dice unless you were GMing.
Unless I was GMing.
You'll find a dice roll when you're GMing, but you will never lie about what, like, what in games, you will never lie.
Unless it's funny.
Yes, they all, oh my god, how deadly is this attack?
Do you hear the people sing? Sing a song songs of angry men. It is the singing of a people who will not be slaves again. I don't know how long we can sing this before someone flags it.
No offense, I don't think anything's gonna pick it up. Like, idea.
Are you saying that we're just really good at hiding it? Yes. Are you saying that people think that it's the original?
You transformed the work enough that it's your own, I think. You made
Ben
it
actually
own.
Hasn't seen that movie.
I haven't seen it.
I also haven't. You're in good company.
I knew what you were doing, though. I'm like aware of it enough to know what was going on there. But anyway, oh my god, does this mean that like every one of these guards fucking dies?
God, I hope so.
Listen, there's no way a guard can take on 12 mutants.
Yeah, but I was trying to figure out like how violent of an uprising this is. And like with 3 tens, I think it's pretty bad.
Oh yeah, we're storming the whole place.
Like, I don't know, it's possible a guard escaped with his life, but you don't see anyone alive. No one is taken alive. And they have laser weapons, and it's possible a few workers didn't make it out. Alice Obama did.
Good.
And so now you have like an army of like 200 people that are now like gathered around.
We also now have a smattering of laser weapons, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a few. Here's the thing, though. I don't think that was quiet.
Oh, it definitely wasn't quiet, and we're going to keep rolling on to the next section.
I'm going to have you make a throwdown roll.
Okay.
I'm assuming you're just moving into the factories now.
I wanted to move toward the cells and clear those out. And then we would move as a mass to the factory, because the factory looked like the biggest area.
Okay, I mean, you can kill the guards, but you still don't have a way to get the cells open.
Well, you said it was about to be shift change, right?
In like an hour, it was shift change, and I think you've been going for about 15 minutes.
Well, it's probably take us a good 30 to kill the guards in the cells.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot fewer guards there.
Well, I think it'll give us a moment. We can just wait until the cells open, and then we can just double our size.
Someone does explain to you, though.
Okay.
That they're like, well, transports come 3 times a day, and that happens at shift change. So if you want to get on the next boat out of here, you might not want to wait around.
I want to save everyone.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose we could go liberate the factories and then go do the cells. It'll be closer to time.
And then we can, you know, we can get a bite to eat, and then
we'll go. We'll stop by the cafeteria.
Okay, I'm gonna have you do a throwdown. I'm not gonna give you any pluses, though.
Can I argue the tag of pigeon eater?
Okay, you have to tell me how you're doing that, though.
All right. So eating a pigeon has a sense of violence to it.
Certainly,
and that is what I'm enacting right now is violence. So,
people plead, tell you they have a family. Is that going to do anything to you?
Absolutely not. I got to eat that pigeon.
Doesn't feel good, but yes, you get a plus one.
Hey, you made this monster.
And you still get the plus one from the friend in your heart.
He can only have a plus one from one tag. And that was a four. That wasn't an ongoing.
Oh.
Okay. Ben, you'll be happy to know I did not roll a 10.
Yeah, but you did roll good, though, didn't you?
I did roll a 9.
So this is sort of how all of you are rolling, are throwing down. I'm going to call this just one harm to you, which is nothing, right? But you're not the only one at stake here. And with 12, we'll say about 12 guards in one place, you lose 7 people. This is like a montage. You move to the factories. It's like so obvious looking at this that this is where most of the goods in Graceland actually come from. The liberation there, you lose 4 people. Now, do you attack the port?
Well, that would be the next one to get us all out of here.
That's 4 people. That's 4 people there.
Now, I will say we probably took prisoners. Anyone that came across me, I would have killed mercilessly. But maybe not everyone in our entourage was like that.
Yeah, some people are still in the cells, but, like, I think you could just, like, forcibly get them out at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got machinery from the factories now. We can start just opening stuff up.
But now you can basically wait for this shift change transport to happen.
Definitely.
So you just, like, wait 15 more minutes in a very quiet facility.
Just chatting with people like, how you doing?
Are you in the port with your army or, like, are you not?
I think we're definitely hiding. Like, there's probably a few key people in the port. Everyone else is in the hallways outside of the port, ready to rush in once the transport lands. That way we don't spook them off.
You see this transport coming, and you realize that it looks a lot like the big, big, big ship that goes to and from Earth.
Oh, wow.
And it comes, and it docks in the port. And several doors on it open. It has, like, obviously a cargo door, and it's got a door for disembarking, like, passengers.
We rush it.
You see some staff that are here for their shift. And some of those are like, guards that are escorting a couple of new prisoners.
We all rush them with our weapons, and we're like, hey, back down, or we're gonna get shooty.
Well, they get shooty.
Oh, well, then we shoot them.
Yeah, I think rushing someone is not something you can do subtly. I think they all scream and, like, try to fight you.
I mean, if they see the odds stacked against them, maybe they don't put their lives at risk. If you see a wave of
influence
angry
someone.
Workers.
Influence someone.
I'm going to influence the shit out of them. You ready for it? I'm going to roll low. No, double sixes.
On a 10 plus, they will attempt to do what is asked of them. Okay. You actually do take the prisoners here.
Yeah.
However, upon storming the cockpit, there is no pilot. The ship is apparently automated.
Well, let me see if I can hack into it and import coordinates.
Yeah, you could take manual control. You'll have to use a tech to do it, though.
I'll do it. Watch me do it. I'll fucking do it.
You're getting cocky with these dice.
I am a little bit. Can I argue a tag?
Yeah, always.
Can I argue Pigeon Eater?
How could you possibly argue Pigeon Eater?
Because the Pigeon Eater was a cyborg pigeon, and now those cyborg parts are in me. So
actually,
maybe
you didn't eat the cyborg parts.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I retract Pigeon Eater.
As a matter of fact, I think you hate birds.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you -1 for Pigeon Eater, actually.
No! hubris!
I think just because you're like, I don't know. I can't quite explain why Pigeon Eater makes me think you're not a good pilot.
Well, I'm probably not a good pilot. I'm not Pluto.
You're
Nash.
You're not a creature of subtlety and grace. You're a creature of ferocity.
Yes, like a cat. I rolled a 6 and a 2 and a -1 from smarts, but I got 2 smarts, so 9.
On a 7 plus, it works, but you pick one complication.
I'm going to say the tech is damaged or destroyed afterwards.
Yeah, you're going to insist on flying this thing.
Yep.
Mr. Nash has been giving me pilot's lessons.
Yeah, you get everyone on board. It's a packed house, but you get them on there. A lot of them have to be in the cargo hold, There's really just cabins and cargo hold. Like there's no like coach or anything, oddly.
It'll be all right. It'll be a short ride.
Basically, you're able to just make it like auto fly toward Graceland. It's fine. You really don't have to do much. But the problem is, you don't realize this, but auto fly does not mean auto land.
Yep.
And it's, what are you doing? What are you rolling?
I'm just rolling.
You're just trying to make yourself feel better. You feel like you have some control over the situation.
I can do it. He was bad Leroy Brown, baddest cat in the whole damn town. He was badder than looking calm, meaner than a junkyard dog. He was bad Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole damn town. He was badder than looking calm, so much meaner than a junkyard dog.
So, Michael's offer.
All right, Mikey. I'll do it. We need to find B. They say he's dead, but I don't believe that. They were wrong about my death, or at least, you know, saying whatever the fuck about it. So, I bet B's still around here somewhere. But, I'm out of ship, so.
I think we can handle that. One of the things we would like you to do as a member of the Marucci family is bring Blue Baby out of retirement. And I think we can set you up with a real nice ride. Much better than the one you were using.
Might be nicer, but it's not going to be the same.
Oh, I know, bud.
I guess I don't have much of a choice. Wait, hold on a second. I just realized, did you take my last name?
I thought it was cool. Joe Malone puts a finger up to an earpiece in her ear and listens for a moment. And she says, Mr. Marucci, there's a situation. And then she looks at you, Nash, and says, a massive vessel is on a collision course with Nash Vegas. This time the trick is on me.